A foreign military power oppressed you and your people for 20 years. No one traveled. Everyone's left the villages. And this power, of course, didn't allow you to possess any weapons. Then you gain your freedom. You fight a war. That's Judges chapter 4. And is that not a reason to celebrate? Yes, that's Judges chapter 5. They celebrated what the leaders did, what the people did, and what God did. And the celebration here will focus in especially on the women. On Deborah, who initiated the action, on Jael, who fulfilled the action, and on the mother of Sisera, who suffered the consequences of the action. So let's begin. Judges 5, verse 1. Celebrate with songs. Then Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, sang on that day, saying. So see, they knew that there's a time for war and there's a time to celebrate. They fought the war, now they're celebrating. Okay, so they celebrate the leaders and the people. Verse 2, when leaders lead in Israel, when the people willingly offer themselves, bless the Lord, they sang. To which I want to say, amen. That is so true. When leaders lead and the people offer themselves, all things are then possible. Deborah and Barak and the other leaders were not too busy. They did not concentrate on their deficiencies or insufficiencies. They didn't make excuses like Moses did, finding everything wrong with himself, rather than focusing on God, who's making all things possible. Deborah, Barak, and the other leaders thought of God's glory. They thought of the welfare of God's people. They were passionate about a cause greater than themselves, and that moved them to do whatever it is God wanted them to do. They were out front doing what they expected the people to do. And the people didn't think of, well, the government should be doing everything for us, or pout because they weren't leaders, or whine endlessly about the way the leaders were acting, and so forth and so on. No, they offered themselves. The people were available, active, sacrificial, and willing to do whatever it was that was necessary to get the job done. Deborah realized that God was behind them all, that He moved them, that He fought for them, and so He's the one who gave them the victory and the glory and the freedom. Thus, verse 3, hear, O kings, give ear, O princes, I will sing to the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. And that's one reason why Phil was leading us in songs of praising God tonight. And we need to do that often. Praise God for what He's doing. For He does numberless things for us. Now watch, even the earth celebrates. Verses 4 and 5. Lord, when you went out from Seir, when you marched from the field of Edom, the earth trembled and the heavens poured. The clouds also poured water. The mountains gushed before the Lord, this Sinai before the Lord God of Israel. I tell you, there are a lot of times in Scripture when the Bible tells us that the earth responded to God's people somehow. Let me just give you some examples, okay? Psalm 97, verse 5 says, the mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. Isaiah 64. Oh, that you would rend the heavens, that you would come down, that the mountains might shake at your presence. Nahum chapter 1. The mountains quake before him, the hills melt, and the earth heaves at His presence. Yes, the world and all who dwell in it. Habakkuk chapter 3. The mountains saw you and trembled. The overflowing of the water passed by. The deep uttered its voice and lifted its hands on high. You can read about Jonathan. Remember, that was David's friend. He and his armor bearer went to attack the Philistines, just the two of them. And the Bible says the earth trembled when they did this. Romans chapter 8 says that the earth groans because of us, because of what we've done as a result of our sin. How about when Jesus was crucified? The earth quaked. Nature often responds to God's people, whether they're doing something evil, like crucifying the Son of God, or whether they're doing something wonderful, like defeating the enemy here in Judges chapter 5. Now, sometimes the text is speaking figuratively, and sometimes it speaks literally. And perhaps both are happening here in Deborah's song. And in a few moments, we'll be in verses 20 through 22, where we'll learn that there was a flooding rain that impaired the chariots of Sisera. Now, going back to our text, Seir or Edom is south of the Dead Sea, as you can tell. Here's the Dead Sea, here's Edom, and here's Sinai. And all this battle is going on up here. Okay? But we learn that the help of God actually came from the south. I don't know if you can see that blue line is supposed to represent the rain coming in. And it's coming in from Sinai. It's coming from a desert. A place where you would not expect a bad enough rain to come that it would cause chariots to get stuck in the mud. Of course, they were iron chariots, so they were heavy. But I think what God is doing here is He's bringing water not from the obvious place, the Mediterranean, but rather from a very unobvious place, so that it's obvious it's coming from Him. He's the one who's doing this. And it's coming from the area of Mount Sinai, right where the Bible tells us that God was, you know, in that mountain when He met with Moses. Okay, so now a mother is celebrating, according to the song. Verse 6, in the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the heavens were deserted, the highways, excuse me, and the travelers walked along the byways. Village life ceased. It ceased in Israel. Deborah and Barak must have referred to Shamgar because since his days after he had died, up until the time that they gained this victory, there's been constant fear in the land because they've been oppressed by Jabin, the king of Canaan. However, all that's changed, according to verse 7 now, the last half, until I, Deborah, arose a mother in Israel. Well, you know, under the conditions of a harsh oppressor, we don't expect a mother to be the one who delivers a nation. But that's exactly what happened here. Deborah arose, then Barak arose, and then 10,000 arose. From 1 to 2 to 10,000. And Sisera just had no idea what he was dealing with when he was dealing with Israel and their God, who is our God. And again, I want to point to Deborah. Sisters, don't let your femininity get in your way. Many women will blame things on men or complain about men and then themselves not do anything, saying, well, I'm just a woman, what can I do? Deborah, Ruth, Hannah, Esther, and many others that I could list have done great and wonderful things, and they didn't let their womanhood keep them back. Verse 8, Israel evidently been following idols. Deborah sang, they chose new gods. Then there was war in the gates. Not a shield or spear was seen among 40,000 in Israel. So Israel had turned to idolatry, and they paid the price for it when God brought Jabin, king of the Canaanites, against them. And of course, they took all of Israel's weapons. That was the cost of idolatry. That was the cost of abandoning the Lord. But Deborah had a cooperative spirit. Verse 9. She said, "My heart is with the rulers of Israel, who offered themselves willingly with the people. Bless the Lord." Deborah and Barak were not the only leaders in Israel. Obviously, Barak would have leaders in his army. Deborah and Barak could not be successful unless the rest of the leaders and the people offered themselves willingly. And when she thought about that again, she praised God. And both Deborah and Barak sang of the camaraderie of the people with their leaders. Celebrate the Lord. Verses 10 and 11. "Speak, you who ride on white donkeys, who sit in judges' attire, and who walk along the road, far from the noise of the archers, among the watering places. There they shall recount the righteous acts of the Lord, the righteous acts for His villagers in Israel. Then the people of the Lord shall go down to the gates." Now remember from verses 6 through 8 that Israel was not traveling anymore. They had abandoned all the villages. But now that they have their freedom back, they're traveling again and they're going back to the villages. And so with this new freedom, they're thanking God. So celebrate and sing. Verse 12. "Awake, awake, Deborah. Awake, awake. Sing a song. Arise, Barak, and lead your captives away, O son of Abinoam." As Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 3, which I quoted from this morning, verse 1, "To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven." And then this morning I did verse 3 and verse 8. But now verse 4. "A time, there is a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance." And this was now the time to laugh and dance. And so they're doing it. I think this is significant because some people can never celebrate. They'll always find something wrong. They'll find someone or something to criticize. They enjoy being miserable, and they want you to be miserable with them. But when it's time to celebrate, man, we ought to celebrate. Celebrate the Lord and praise Him. Celebrate the people as well. Verse 13. "Then the survivors came down, the people against the nobles. The Lord came down for me against the mighty." What I think is interesting is that Deborah and Barak did not glorify themselves, but they gave all the glory to God. Today we are infatuated with having a high image of ourselves, but we need to be busy with having a high image of God. And if we need to be exalted, He'll do it. He'll exalt us when that needs to be done. Now I want you to notice in verses 14 and 15 how they celebrate specifically what the people did. Okay, it wasn't just a generic celebration. "From Ephraim were those whose roots were in Amalek. After you, Benjamin, with your peoples. From Machir, rulers came down. And from Zebulun, those who bear the recruiter's staff. And the princes of Issachar were with Deborah. As Issachar, so was Barak, sent into the valley under his command." So while Naphtali and Zebulun were the main tribes, Benjamin, Ephraim, and Issachar were also involved. Five tribes. But where's the other seven, or the other eight, if you want to include Manasseh as a half-tribe and the Levites? And these five tribes didn't say, "Well, we're not going to go if they're not going to go. I'm not going to fight if they're not going to fight." Oh, they wondered why the others didn't go. We'll see that in just a moment. But they didn't whine endlessly about it. Something needed to be done about their oppressor. God's raised up Deborah and Barak, so they go with it. Look at the rest of verse 15. Among the divisions of Reuben, there were great resolves of heart. Why did you not sit among the sheepfolds to hear the pipings for the flocks? Okay, Reuben, you were doing some thinking here. You had some resolve in your heart, but when it came down to it, where were you? You weren't there. The divisions of Reuben have great searchings of heart. Gilead stayed beyond the Jordan. My map's not up anymore, but you know they stayed on the east side of the Jordan. Instead of coming on over to the west side where the fighting was going on. And why did Dan remain on ships or at ease? Asher continued at the seashore and stayed by his inlets. Was Dan too comfortable? Was Asher just having too much fun? Why didn't they go fight? Why didn't they help their brethren? There's no answer. But what Deborah and Barak came back and did in verse 18 is they celebrated the sacrifices of the people who were involved. Zebulun is a people who jeopardized their lives to the point of death. Naphtali also on the heights of the battlefield. So while the tribes of verse 17 were at ease, Zebulun and Naphtali were risking their lives for Israel's freedom. And freedom is important, is it not? I mean, what is July 4th for Americans? It's a day we celebrate the birth of our freedom. Celebrate the battle itself. Verse 19. The kings came and fought. Then the kings of Canaan fought in Taanach by the waters of Megiddo. They took no spoils of silver. They fought from the heavens. The stars from their courses fought against Sisera. Sisera did not know the source of Israel's help. And you know, the last thing you want to do on this earth is fight God's people. I just don't recommend it. And here's why. Listen to Zechariah 2, verse 8. For thus says the Lord of hosts, He sent me, and it's believed that Jesus is the one who's speaking here, He sent me after glory to the nations which plunders you. For he who touches you touches the apple of his eye. Now who is the apple of your eye? And what if I touch that person in a harmful way? I think I'm in a lot of trouble. And that's what the one speaking in Zechariah 2:8 is saying. You don't touch the apple of God's eye, because He'll touch you and you won't like His touch. And that's what I think is going on also in Judges chapter 5. Sisera and Jabin, you're touching the apple of God's eye and you're going to pay the price for it. I used you for a while because my people needed to be punished. Now it's your turn. The Lord of heaven sent rain from heaven. Look at 21 and 22. The torrent of Kishon swept them away. That ancient torrent, so it's flooding. The torrent of Kishon. Oh, my soul, march on in strength. Then the horse's hooves pounded, the galloping of his steeds. Remember verses 4 and 5, that God came from Sinai and then from Eden. He's moving from the south out of Sinai into Edom and finally up into the area of the battle. And He's coming in this rain. But again, now notice verse 23, there was a certain place in Israel that just absolutely refused to fight. So they said this, curse Meroz, said the angel of the Lord, curse its inhabitants bitterly, because they did not come to the help of the Lord, to help the Lord against the mighty. Now, does the Lord need help? No, God doesn't need anyone's help. But has He chosen to use man's help? Yes. That's just the way He operates. There's some things that He does Himself, but there's some areas in which He wants man to do his part. And this particular city or village would not help. And the angel of God cursed that place because of it. 24 through 27, celebrate women. Most blessed among women is Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. Blessed is she among women in tents. This is how a woman gained the glory rather than Barak. Remember, Deborah told that to Barak. Because you're not going when you were commanded to go, a woman's going to get the glory. It's not going to go to you, Barak. Now, look what we just saw in verses 19 through 23, especially verse 23, where she's cursing those in Israel who didn't help. And look what she is saying about this non-Israelite, non-soldier woman. Male soldiers from most of the tribes in Israel would not come to the fight. But here, this woman handled the general of the army all by herself. Therefore, those tribes were cursed because she was, and she was blessed. 25 and 26. He asked for water, she gave milk. She brought out cream in a lordly bowl. She stretched her hand to the tent peg, her right hand to the worker's hammer. She pounded Sisera. She pierced his head. She split and struck through his temple. Because he didn't duck like Phil Joseph did this morning. I call him a chicken tonight. He only wanted water and a safe place to lie down. She brought much more. Perhaps gave him the milk to help him sleep. And what happened to this man? Verse 27. At her feet he sank. He fell. He lay still. At her feet he sank. He fell. Where he sank, there he fell dead. As I read that, I wondered if it's possible that this is what happened. Like I showed you this morning, he's lying down and he's sleeping. She goes up to him softly. She has the tent peg and the hammer. And she has to do this gently so she doesn't wake him up. She's actually going to have to touch him a little bit to get it planted in the right spot. And she whacks that thing the first time, and his body must have jolted, you can imagine. And he may have even, it probably got up. He stood up. And then according to this verse, he sank down. He fell back to the ground. So now he's down, and she wants to make sure he's dead, so she goes up and boom, boom, and continues to hammer on that thing until it goes all the way through his head and into the ground. So, you know, this is what I used to demonstrate that this morning, but I'm thinking, hey, you know, it was bigger than that. I mean, it had to go all the way through his head. She doesn't even go across my head. So it was big. And she whacked that thing good. I wouldn't want to upset that woman against me or anything. Wow. Okay. Now, here's a sad part of the song, mourning the death of the wicked. The mother of Sisera looked through the window and cried out through the lattice, "Why is his chariot so long in coming? Why tarries the clatter of his chariots?" The mother of Sisera knew something was wrong. When he went out to battle before, he's usually back by now. She could usually hear his chariot coming in the distance. She missed it. So I think she And her wise ladies deluded themselves with this. Look at verse 29. Her wisest ladies answered her. Yes, she answered herself. Are they not finding and dividing the spoil to every man a girl or two? For Sisera, plunder of dyed garments, plunder of garments embroidered and dyed. 2 pieces of dyed embroidery for the neck of the looter. In other words, they're just having a good time. That's what it is. No. He took women, but now a woman took him. And she'll never see him again. So, 31. Celebrate the lovers of the Lord. Thus let all your enemies perish, O Lord, but let those who love him be like the sun when it comes out in full strength. Eventually, the enemies of God and his people lose, and eventually, God and his people shine forth in glory. Every time, since the beginning, it's been that way. And it'll continue to be that way until God decides to end all things. God's people always end up on top. Although there's times when it seems like they're down, their numbers are down, they're weak, they don't have the resources they need. You know, they could be slaves in Egypt or whatever. But they come back. And it's because their God is with them. So finally, the psalm or song ends by celebrating peace. So the land had rest for 40 years. 40 years, 4 decades of wonderful rest. Peace. Because they're following the Lord again. Follow the Lord and have peace. Turn your back on Him and you have turmoil. That's just the way it works. So I want to encourage you tonight to make sure that you're faithful to God, that you put your whole life in His hands, and you tell Him that you're doing so. And then back it up with your action as well as your words. Can we help you, brother or sister, to get closer to God tonight? If so, come forward now as we stand and sing.